podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Celtic are heading back to Hampden as hat-trick hero Daizen Maeda ensured that Brendan Rodgers kept up his perfect record in the Scottish Cup after the quarter-final win over Livingston. It was a sketchy kind of performance in the day, but in the Cup, does that really matter so long as you end up in the hat for the next round? We'll discuss all of that and much more on tonight's Celtic Exchange Weekly. This is Tino, and tonight I'm joined by James and Joe as we cover all things Celtic. Joe, welcome back. Some relaxing Sunday viewing for you against Livingston.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having me back. It was not pretty from what I'd seen. Goals very, very ropey. Very bad defending, but we got there in the end. It's cut football, but, you know, we got there in the end, and the win really is all that matters.
Yeah, well, that's the question, James. Is it just about the win, or do you always want to see something better than what we've seen in terms of performance?
I think you want to see that, of course. You know, you want to see Celtic playing flowing football every single game they play, but it's not reality. I think there's a real fragility about the Celtic fan base at the moment. You know, any kind of, if it's not a 4-0 win, it's a disaster. You know, and don't get me wrong, plenty to pick out from yesterday. It was ropey and there was poor performances all over the place. But we need to look at what we're really focusing on here, and that's the league. So I've got no problem just getting yesterday in the bin, in the hat, draw tonight, whatever it is, and then just move on. So no issues for me.
I'd agree with that to a huge extent. You know, you've had the really encouraging second half performance against Motherwell. You've then blown Dundee away with a 7-1 win, feeling really good about yourself and rightfully so. You then go to Tynecastle and you've got all sorts of nonsense going on, which really affects how that game flows and ultimately the fact that we don't get the result. You then go into the weekend there and, yeah, we don't play well at times. You're having to cope without Carter Vickers, Callum McGregor, and we'll get to that in a bit. Yang, who's obviously now suspended, Rio Hatate remains out. It was kind of always going to be a wee bit, you know, under par in terms of performance, but you get through. But there's folks, I go back to this, there are folks that can't wait to say I told you so and can't wait to just try and you know, hammer another nail into Brendan Rodgers' coffin. And everyone's entitled to their own opinion on it, but I just think you're either back in Celtic or you're not. And I think we've got to a position, Joe, where what have we got now? Nine league games remaining, hopefully two more cup games remaining if we do semi-final and final. So 11 games to fully get behind the team. And I feel that some folks are still holding a bit back, James.
I would say if you want to kind of save yourself some time as a Celtic fan, get behind Brendan Rodgers. He's here for the long term. I don't see him moving anywhere. In fact, I think it's going quite the opposite direction. I think he's starting to increase his power base at Celtic. You know, Mark Lawless part of that, and increase his influence. You've got to bear in mind that Brendan Rodgers has Dermot Desmond's ear, and that is all that counts at Celtic. If you've got Dermot Desmond's ear, you've got the route to action. I think things will start to happen in the summer in terms of Rodgers putting his stamp on things, bringing his own structure and players into the team. Rodgers spoke, 2024, 5 years ago, about Celtic needing a proper football structure. I think we'll start to see that coming in the summer. Like I said last week, you know, we shouldn't be rushing to replace Mark Lawless. It should be structural. But Rodgers is making no noises that sounds like he's just here on a, you know, have a go. He's here for a 3-year project, whatever that may be. So if you're looking for told you so's, you've got 2 and a bit years to wait.
You think so? No, he's definitely not here on a, what will now be known, Joe, as the Neil Warnock approach. Just come up for a couple of months and see what happens. What do you think to that question, though, Joe? I don't know if I said this on record or just off air or whatever a wee while ago, that I think Brendan Rodgers might well move on, win, lose or draw. Whatever happens with the league this season, he was wanting to take a year out of football. He was convinced by either Michael Nicholson or Dermot Desmond or a combination of the two. And he can't really have enjoyed, you know, his return so far. There's been some big moments, beating Rangers a couple of times and some other moments within, but I don't know. Are you as confident as James that he's here for the medium to long haul?
I would like him to stay, but I'm not. I mean, I said this a few weeks ago. I think when it comes to Dermot Desmond and the Celtic hierarchy, it comes down to season tickets. Ultimately, if the fans aren't on board, I mean, it's directly related with season tickets as well. And ultimately, if there's not enough backing within Celtic support, then, and it sounds extremely ungrateful saying that oh, we've not won the league, but we're all going to chuck the season ticket in the bin and, you know, we're not going to renew next year. But the way that the mood is with the fans just now, that is the way Celtic fans are. Like, they demand extreme success, and especially when you're in a real strong position at Celtic. Well, I want him to stay for the long term. I think he's got credentials as a coach that make him stand out for anyone else that we could get. Now, again, you could throw in the Ange curveball that we didn't know who Ange was, but from I've seen people commenting that they want Rodgers in the bin the now and they want him out for the rest, that they want somebody else in for now and the end of the season, sack him now, whatever. I'm like, I don't see who you could bring in to sort of steady the ship and make things better.
Yeah, maybe so. Cheeky young podcaster calls out Celtic fan base is what I heard there, James. It's interesting though because you've got your own stance in terms of season ticket, right? That you're very unlikely to renew this season or at the end of the season based on what you see is just issues behind the scenes. The same old, not building for Europe.
And by the way, one of many, not, I know many people with James's stance.
Really?
Many,
really,
many.
Okay. More.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's more structural. It's how we sign players. It's the same old project signings and different things like that don't sit well for you. There will be another element of the fan base who will potentially say, I'm not going through another season of Rodgers. If you feel that strongly about Rodgers, and a lot of people have expressed, you know, real, strong feelings, you know, about how they feel about Rodgers. If they feel that strongly, then they might give their season tick up on that basis, and that would be a higgledy-piggledy situation where the club are losing out because of manager and their structure and different things. But ultimately, we've discussed this previously when we went into depth, James, there's so many fans waiting for a season ticket that it may not have an impact. Spoke to Jim Orr from Save Our Celts last week, and he talked about he gave up his season ticket during those times during the 90s, but he said it was his kind of pebble in the ocean move.
That's kind of where I'm at
that time.
Yeah.
So whether it'll have an impact or not, I don't know.
Do you know what was interesting, Jim Orr? One of the things he said was Davey Tate going to the board and said, I want to sign Joe McLaughlin, Stevie Clark. And they said, you can do it if you're spending your own money.
Yeah.
That was, Celtic were 9 points ahead in the league. You would have stopped Rangers 1 of 9 in a row, nipped it in the bud. That doesn't mean you don't win it next year, but you'd have certainly stalled it. And the exact same things are going on and have been going on all the way through. You know, so Celtic didn't improve my position of strength then. We didn't do it with Martin O'Neill. We didn't do it with Ange. We're not doing it now. You know, it's cultural.
It's Miff's greatest gripe, isn't it? We never build from strength. We get strong, we win trebles, we really show ourselves as a force, and then we take our foot off the gas for some reason. Anyway, I never intended to dwell on all that kind of stuff, but we've drifted into it, so be it. But just to return to the weekend's action, and obviously the post-match is out there now, James, you and I covered things after the game there. But the Liam Scales-Stephen Welsh partnership has caused real concern. So Cameron Carter-Vickers, Rodgers rested him as a precaution. I think it's a slight hamstring issue. And I don't know, is Navrocki's out, isn't he? He's injured as well. Yeah. Obviously, Lagerbielka's somewhere. You know, he was on the bench, wasn't he? But how do you feel, Joe, about the Liam Scales-Stephen Welsh partnership, particularly with what we've seen yesterday?
Well, Lagerbielka's definitely not injured because Alistair Johnson was playing tennis with him this morning as I come to the social media. So, I mean, he's clearly not getting any... it's clearly not an injury issue. I am not... I was very, very hopeful with this Scales-Welsh combination about 20 minutes into the Celtic Rangers game in December. I was like, what's happened to Stephen Welsh? Who is this guy? Yeah. He looks like he can go up for a header, he can tackle, he can play the ball out quickly. And then fast forward a couple of weeks to Hibs at Easter Road, went up for a 50-50, landed a bit awkwardly, and that was him. I'm like, that's the Stephen Welsh we know. But it does not fill me with confidence at all. Scales has went back the way for me. Seems to be, if you looked at it statistically, his passing, accuracy of passing from a few months ago to now is probably stark in comparison. Just not playing well at all. And then you look defensively, the first goal yesterday was just Stephen Welsh stops for 40 yards out and just, oh, that's my man. I need to burst my tank, can't get back into position. And then it's too late. So doesn't fill me with confidence and we miss Carter-Vickers big time.
Yeah, and we're going to cover just how much we miss him a wee bit later in the show, but there's no doubt, James, that the two centre-halves had a really, really poor game between them. It's so important as a centre-half at Celtic to be comfy, carrying the ball, and then making that pass that breaks the lines and all these things. You'll remember the one where Stephen Welsh drifted forward, found himself particularly high up the park, and wasn't aware, and I'm sure there was, I don't know how many was there yesterday, 30,000-ish, I'm sure there was thousands of folks screaming to say, there's a guy on your back. And the guy's just picked his pocket. Yeah. And it was just woeful. It was just really, really poor. I like Stephen Welsh a lot. I think he's a really decent fella, really good professional. and he's got certain attributes, but he's not kicking on, and he's not kicking on, and I agree with you. I wish Liam Scales no ill will at all. I'd love to see him excel, but I do think he's going back the way, and I wonder if he's just got as good as he'll ever get at Celtic. And I've no way of saying that, it's just my gut feeling on things. There's folks we know, James Dean in the group chat, who won't hear a word against the man. And that's just the way it goes. I suppose it's all about the opinions at the end of the day. We'll get into all of that stuff in a bit more detail, as I say. But before we kick on with the rest of the show, here's a quick update of the additional episodes we've got coming up this week on the Celtic Exchange. On Wednesday, we'll bring you the latest episode in our CSC story series as we head to Switzerland. A lot of S's there, to speak with the boys at the Geneva CSC. On Thursday, we'll be bringing you the next instalment, so part four in our Battle to Save Celtic series, and we'll reveal details of just who that will be later on in the week. While I'm on that, just a big thanks for the overwhelming support of that series so far. We've had so many comments, whether it's on, you know, Twitter, YouTube, some emails, various different things. So far, we spoke to Matt McGlone of Celts for Change, David Lowe, better known as Fergus McCann's right-hand man, and Jim Ward that we've mentioned there from Save Our Celts. And we've got some really interesting stuff lined up, but it's been really, really encouraging, some of the stuff we've heard so far. Joe, were you even born in 1994?
I was born in December 99, so I was...
minus five.
It's not even close.
I was at 10 year old, being stopped at that point, or Wim Jansen had been and gone. I think John Barnes was the manager when I was there.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
So you're born in 99.
Sorry, I don't even know if John Barnes was. I think Kieran Dalglish took over at that point.
Yeah, he was going in the alt, mate.
So
you're 99, and then James here was in the year below Brian Dempsey at school. There's a whole lot of contrast.
Could be a year above, I'm not even sure.
A lot of contrast going on. But yeah, that's the Battle to Save Celtic series. On Friday, we'll have the countdown to kickoff. I had a Celtic St Johnson. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff at Celtic Park on Saturday. And obviously after the game, we'll have the final whistle show shortly after the whistle. If you aren't already following or subscribing to us on the likes of YouTube, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, then do so now to ensure you don't miss a single episode. James, the main man against Livingston was Dyson Maeda, and he hit a hat-trick on his 100th appearance for Celtic, and congratulations to him. His record for Celtic during that time is 27 goals and 15 assists. What's your thoughts in general on Dyson Maeda and the role he plays in this Celtic team?
Transfer list.
Wow. Straight off the bat?
Taking a step back and looking at a Celtic squad, if you're looking to really progress Celtic as a team, and I like Dyson Maeda because his attitude is spot on. Is he the quality we need to go and progress in Europe? He's not. It's as simple as that. Coming off the bench, but impact sometimes. But overall, consistently, you get too much madness for the goodness. So you could run through that Celtic squad at the moment and take at least half it out, and I think Dyson's one of them, because I need to be able to rely on my players, and I can't rely on Dyson. If I could, he'd have scored six yesterday. So that's where I'm on. It's sad, but that's the harsh reality of football. Scales and Wilson in the same pot.
There you are, Dyson. Your bubbles burst.
Hat-trick yesterday.
Hat-trick hero.
Entity.
Too much madness. You won't be alone in saying that, Miff. Can I use you that term? Although Miff says he likes Maeda's particular brand of madness, but it's certainly not for everybody. He tweeted after the game, Dyson Maeda tweeted, "I'm happy to be able to contribute to the team's victory in my 100th game for Celtic. Thank you for all your support." No retweet from you? No sharing that around?
A retweet? No, I don't know.
Not at all. No. Joe, as James did mention, as a teammate and as a professional, Dyson Maeda's commitment is never in question, is it?
No. In disagreement with James and the transfer immediately, I don't see anyone else better that in terms of what... I don't know anyone else, first of all, that can bring what Maeda brings to Celtic.
I mean the summer.
Aye.
We need to sign, obviously.
Well, I don't mean release him. I don't mean like
in March. Just flounder him.
Just let him go somewhere. No. I don't see... He's not a priority of someone that we need to get rid of. I think you look at...
Get door for him.
I mean... He's not the best winger at the club anyway. James Forrest is the best winger at the club.
Yes, he is. We'll get to that. His clarity is required.
Stay Snidey Rogers.
But I do like the madness. I must say, I do like the madness, but I like it when we're comfortable at home against Dundee. I don't like it when it really matters. He has his moments where you think, how has he made a living out of this? And then he does something mental 5 minutes later. Some of the goals he scored for Celtic are incredible. Hibs at Easter Road was just a screamer, the goal against Dundee. But on a serious note, his work rate's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think he brings something really, really positive to Celtic. When we had Jota and someone a lot more creative on our side, who was performing at their peak, there was absolutely no question that Maeda should be starting, because there was such a contrast in terms of what they could both bring.
I think that's a great point. There was a real balance here. You had Jota and all the creativity and genius that he brought, and Maeda brought you that industry and the odd bit of genius. You know, he's capable of moments of magic as well, but it's just that unpredictability. That's the thing. Can you hang your hat on him? I don't know. You can hang your hat on him to absolutely put a shift in for the full 90 minutes. Can you hang your hat on him to score a relatively easy chance from 6 yards out? Possibly not. He had the bar from about 4 yards yesterday.
I mean, one guy that'll definitely agree with me for selling in the summer is James Tavernier. He'll be up against him in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. because it looks like Palmer's not going to be fit for that.
Yeah.
So probably it's going to be Maeda and Yang, if Yang's back and firing and is, you know, picks up the form that he left, kind of thing. So Tavernier hates him.
Mm. And as you say, Joe, yeah, I know you've been a wee bit kind of jokey about it, but you know, people would say, how's this guy a pro footballer, you know, to an extent? But then he plays every time, you know, he gets called up every time, sorry, for his country. He's scored at a World Cup, you know, he's reached almost the peak from an international footballer point of view. He's now played 100 times for Celtic, so he's pulled the wool over two managers' eyes to get 100 appearances, and he's obviously chipped in with his fair share of goals and assists. Just on that bit of trivia, so following Sunday's hat-trick, how many times has Dyson Maeda now scored more than one goal in a Celtic game?
Four. Five.
Zero. The hat-trick was the first time he'd scored more than a single goal in a game for Celtic. I was really surprised by that. I seen it somewhere as a headline, and I checked out via Transfer Market, the website, and he's scored, obviously, well, 27 times, all singles up until...
How many should have scored more than one?
Oh, well, therein lies the question. But are you surprised to hear that, Joe?
Very surprised to hear that. Just, I mean, I'm thinking when it's been proper and ball
flying, era, yeah.
Like, we were winning five or six, and given they started every game, I mean, putting two and two together. Yeah. But I don't think Jota ever scored more than... I don't ever remember Jota scored more than a goal. A game for Celtic, so it's maybe not that much a surprise.
Scored a couple against Aberdeen.
But right. It shows you how much FFA goals we had in the team. Aberdeen.
That'll be next week's piece of trivia. I've only got the Maeda stuff for now. I'd mentioned a tweet that Dyson Maeda put out, and I'll read out an Instagram post they had as well. And this was translated by the fellas at Yatou, you know, the Japanese fella. And Maeda also said, "One day I'll tell everyone why I started growing my hair," i.e. he's now growing it back like in it. For some reason. He says, "By the way, the last time I shaved my hair with a razor is 14 days ago. Pay attention to my hair." So
he's a hairy man.
Big question, Joe. Do you prefer bald Maeda, or are you digging the new look?
I mean, I'm for as long as he's playing well. I mean, whatever. I'm liking, I'm liking it. Do it. You do you, my man. You do you. That's it.
You do you, my man. James, do you have any comments on his new look?
It's not a big issue for me.
It's just, it takes a wee bit of getting used to it for me. That's the only thing. And there must be a way. I don't know if it's a superstition or something. But there's a story coming. He's obviously put the teaser tweet out there, or the Instagram post. So we'll find out in the coming weeks. But now, just the final point on him. You know, real credit to him. 100 appearances for Celtic. You know, it's not an easy task to do that. And to bag a hat trick at any point in your career, you know, he deserves real credit. But it goes back to your original point, James, and I'll start with you, Joe, on it. Can we or will we progress in Europe so long as Dyson Maeda as a starting winger?
As a winger...
Do you want two Jotas or do you want Dyson?
I mean, I would rather...
Two Jotas don't grow on trees.
No, well, but you build them, you develop
this,
them.
Well, at this moment in time, I've struggled to replace Jota. Obviously, no many Jotas grow on trees at all. I think so. I don't think that's an issue with Celtic in Europe. I don't think it has been an issue this season. There's a lack of quality out wide. I think it's just in general our depth. And I think that it's more the fact that we don't have, in the event that Maeda does have a bad game, we need to go for a different approach. That in Europe this season, we've not been in a scenario where we can bring someone else in. And ultimately, standard and squad depth drives quality for your starting players. There needs to be, I mean, it's the same any sort of football and at any football team, that you need a strong squad, because ultimately the guys in you're only as strong as your bench, really, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is more of an issue. And you know what, I always use James Forrest as an example. When some of the best football James Forrest ever played for Celtic was when Patrick Roberts was here.
It's often repeated. Just while I remember then, so Brendan Rodgers was quoted and people have clipped it up after the game as saying blah blah blah, credit to James Forrest, he came in, you know, showed a bit of something. He's our best winger. And then goes on to say, but time waits for no man. So he caveats it, but people have just cut it off at that point. What he's really doing is he's bigging James Forrest up, and you're right to do so after he comes in, but he's putting the brackets
strange
after
way
it,
to put it
by
though.
Saying that.
Is he also having a wee bit of a how bad is my recruitment team, that the guy that, you know, has been here for 20
odd
years?
Who knows? Maybe he's been a bit cute with it. But
maybe.
James,
maybe the second in a week if he's done it.
True. Same question as I put to Joe there. I think I know your answer, but will we progress in Europe if Dyson's a starter?
No, it's as simple as that. You know, if we have ambitions to do anything in Europe, I think Rodgers does. I don't know if Celtic do. But if we do as a collective, then no, you need to upgrade across the board, and Dyson's one of them.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between. I think he's got a part to play, but whether it's as a starting winger, not entirely sure. But as Joe says, you do you, my man.
Yep.
Keep being Dyson and we'll see what happens. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about just how different Celtic are without Callum McGregor and Cameron Carter-Vickers. Welcome back, folks. Callum McGregor has now missed Celtic's last two games with a niggling calf / Achilles issue, whereas Cameron Carter-Vickers, as mentioned, was rested against Livy as a precaution after feeling something in his hamstring at training on Friday. Despite that, actually, it seems that he's likely still to be called up by the USA, and I suppose you can find the positives there if he's okay to go his country. Hopefully he's okay overall. But James, say what you want about this current Celtic side in terms of various different things, quality, good enough, development players or whatever. We're not blessed with natural leaders, and how much of an impact do you think that has when we don't have Cameron Carter-Vickers and Callum McGregor to call upon?
It's huge. You know, quite a few commentators and fans have spoken about the Celtic players' heads when they went to each yesterday, you know, just in terms of just all over the place. And that's when Carter-Vickers, Callum McGregor really make their money. You know, they step in and say, right, calm down. We're playing our own game here. We'll just keep doing that. The goals will come. Don't worry about it. Don't panic, all that stuff. So given the, you know, for the next 6-8 weeks, mentality is the big thing that's going to get you there. You know, talent gets you to here. It's mentality that gets you to the finishing line. Mm-hmm. And that's a big concern. I'm really, really concerned about Carter-Vickers going away with America. Just nervous, like Hatate going away with Japan there, coming back injured. I don't know, should certainly not be saying this guy's been on and off injuries, we're going to just, you know, rest him up, and we want him to take it easy, we don't think he should be travelling. I don't know how much power they've got in that relationship, you know, in terms of the way football's changed. You know, if the international says we want him, you get him.
It can depend how much trust there is between the different bodies. So they might say, we know he's struggling, but we want to take a look ourselves and put our doctors on him and check that out. Yeah. I think they've got a couple of qualifier to important games from what
I say. Final. It's like, I think it's, I've seen it right on Twitter. I still follow that Dan Olowitz, the boy that was Japanese guy. But he's American, and I think,
I thought he was Aussie.
Nah, he's American.
It's completely irrelevant, lads.
But anyway, I think he'd retweeted that it was like that there was a Nations League, but it's like a semi-final and a final, so it's Jamaica, Mexico, Canada and America are all, so it's like a cup format thing, right. So I think it might be like an Asian Cup scenario, so where they're just bringing everyone in that they think's important regardless of
they had named a what do you call that? Like a kind
provisional.
Provisional squad. He's certainly part of that, and it looks like he'll get named. Listen, I'd like to think that common sense will prevail. I'm sure he's a guy that they want to be fit, but you need to be smart with this guy.
There's a question there, and you know the answer might be positive, but what relationship does Celtic have with international associations? You know, if we sign someone from Honduras, as we have, we should be making sure we've got contact with that national team and saying, you know, here's how we work as an operation. If there's an international call-up, let us know if you need any data, blah, blah, blah. Just so that there is a relationship when a Carter-Vickers situation like this comes up, or Hatate, which was pretty similar, and you can say, listen, you know, we work together on this, we'd rather keep him. And if you've got that contact, you've got that existing relationship, it's much, much easier to get a yes on that than, I'm the Celtic guy, I don't want my player to go, I beat it.
That's what I was saying. It depends how much trust there is between Celtic and the US and the various other nations that our players represent. So you just like to think that common sense is applied, because he's clearly struggled this season. He's missed, I think, now 10 games through his recovery
and relapses as well
from his bigger issue, so hopefully there's no big concerns there. You lads will have heard the rumours doing the rounds about Callum McGregor, so it's and we know how these things start, and it starts as a tweet and there's a WhatsApp and all that stuff, but there's lots of folk have been saying they've heard he's out for the season, you know, and it's a bit of scaremongering, isn't it? But there's quotes from Brendan Rodgers basically saying that the results, he had a scan last Wednesday, Callum McGregor, and the results at this moment in time are inconclusive, and they're just playing it day by day. He obviously didn't feature at all against Livy. he won't feature at the weekend and he won't travel internationally. And that's a decent bit of time to recover. But there's no doubt it's a concern, Joe. I thought against Hearts at Tynecastle, when all hell was breaking loose, that's when we really missed his leadership.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, it's not even leadership. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. I mean, for what we do, I mean, in games against Rangers, I mean, you can draw comparisons with Scott Brown. For me, Callum McGregor's a much better technical player than Scott Brown ever was.
I think Brown would admit to that, yeah.
But I genuinely do think so. In terms of if we're ever needing a goal, if we're, you know, trying to protect a lead all round, I would rather have Callum McGregor on my team than Scott Brown. But that aside, I think that it's a massive loss if he is out for the season. I'm taking it very lightly because I would rather hear it from the horse's mouth before jumping to any conclusions for my own mental health above anything else. But yeah, I think it would be a massive loss. And, you know, if it is scaremongering, I really hope it is. But it doesn't miss a lot of football. And the fact that it seems like the type of player that would take a lot to sort of knock any sort of stuffing out of him or stop him from playing.
You know, it must be relatively serious for him to be missing notable game time. Yep. Tynecastle's a huge one to miss. Yep. You can, for the most part, Celtic, touch wood, not stuff, can take care of lots of the stuff domestically. But away to Tynecastle is one that you want your real leaders to step up on. And that's the thing, James. So when you take out Callum McGregor and you take out Cameron Carter-Vickers, what have you got left in terms of leaders? There's Joe Hart, who I think has really stepped up big time in the last number of weeks. He's obviously announced his retirement. He wants to go out on a high. Of course he does. He made a huge save at 2-each against Livy. And you just don't know what would have happened if he hadn't done so. So credit to him for that, because you're doing nothing for long spells in these kind of games. Celtic had 77% possession, and then you need to spring to life. So credit to him there. But generally speaking, he's been a leader since he joined the club. So this is him, you know, coming towards the end of his third season, and all credit to him for that. But that aside, James, you've maybe got a couple of other figures. I would put Alistair Johnson in the leader type bracket. Greg Taylor, these guys have got a wee bit of bite, a bit of determination. But when the chips are down without the key figures in Callum McGregor and Carter Vickers, I think we struggle to rally, regroup and refocus.
Yeah, we do. And it, you know, circles back to improving from a position of strength, from not kind of having a recruitment team switched on to what the manager needs. That's we are where we are. So, you know, these are things we need to fix in the summer, but there's no point really kind of getting into too much detail now. It's just about asking guys to step up. I don't think we're going to get that from Bernardo. I think we should be seeing more of it from O'Reilly. I know he's a kind of quiet player on the pitch, but he can lead by example. Mm-hmm. Iwata doesn't strike me as that yet. You know, maybe a communication side of things there as well. It's not Welsh, it's not Scales, as much as they are, you know, big physical guys. It's Hart, Johnson, Taylor. I don't really see much else in terms of, you know, leadership material there.
You wonder, Joe, when Celtic are signing players, obviously they're set criteria. Is this guy, is he, you know, you'll have seen the thing actually last week. It was Stephen McGowan that revealed on Graham Spears' podcast what he's been told is the criteria when Celtic were signing players. Age bracket 19 to 23, preferably with some sort of international experience, either at senior level or under 21. Ballpark 10k to 18k in wages, and price point under £5 million. That in itself is a whole other podcast if you want to debate the merits of doing so. But what you've seen from Celtic's seven permanent signings in summer, you know, the various guys that we know about, Palma, Lager, Bielka, Kwon Yang, etc., they all meet that exact criteria. Right? They all fall right in that bracket, which is fine. But there's another part of the criteria that you wonder if they consider in terms of what's the personality of this guy? Can they lead? Do they have the strong mentality that's required at Celtic? Do they have the mentality? We had a wee laugh before coming on air here. What point am I going to bring up the Mikey Johnson stuff? Because I'm such a huge fan.
It's now.
Here it is, folks. But I'm not going to dwell on the Mikey Johnson thing, but there's a question mark over Mikey Johnson's temperament and mentality when it comes to play for Celtic, because he's down in the, what I would call the low to no pressure championship, and he's flying. He's got six or seven goals and brilliant goals as they are. But it's a whole different kettle of fish when you're down there playing against, I don't know, QPR and Cardiff and all that stuff than when you're up here at Celtic Park. But you wonder how much the mentality thing comes into it. You know, we heard often Ange speaking about when he was looking to sign players, he basically gave them a bell. Mm. What's the chat here? What's your drivers? What's your motivation at this stage in your career? Is it money? Do you want to win trophies? Do you want to eventually make it to the English Premier League, whatever it might be? And I think even just, I don't want to hark back to the summer transfer window, but look at all of those guys in isolation, the seven permanent signings, plus you had Nat Phillips and Bernardo in on loan, but take the seven permanent signings. Any leaders in there, regardless what you think of them as footballers, Navroki might become a leader, but am I just saying that because he's a big centre-half? I don't know. Is that lazy of me? I don't see it from any of the rest of them.
But that's typically something, you know, that there are outliers that are leaders from 10 years old onwards. It's just in them. It's innate. But most players that become leaders, you know, even looking at the likes of Taylor and stuff, he's become a bit of a leader type in the last couple of years, not when he arrived at Celtic as a younger player. So if you're signing guys strictly under 23, the chances of you having leaders are low. If you go for a couple of the guys between 23 and 30, the chances of you having leaders' experience is a big thing, because you know what you're doing and you can back yourself up. So when you're asking the others to come with you, you know the road you're going on. The transfer strategy is fully flawed and has led us to a situation where you lose two key players and you've got no leaders in your team. I mean, the hits just keep on coming for the recruitment team.
Yeah, they do.
To be fair, the people who set the strategy for the recruitment team, let's be fair.
Okay. But Joe, yeah, there's obviously far more chance when you sign a guy at 24, 25, 26. They've got that experience, that confidence that comes with age. Where are you now?
I'm 24.
I remember you as a 21-year-old. Oh. You're a bit unsure of yourself, but look at you now.
I know.
Flying. But as it's just, it's about a life experience. It's about a confidence. It's, you know, you've got games under your belt. You've maybe travelled to different countries. And it's probably unfair to expect that of a guy at 19, 20, 21. Yep. And ultimately, if that's all we're signing, you're not bringing leaders into your team. So it's not just about what these guys bring technically. You know, are they a goal scorer? Are they a great defender? There's a requirement at Celtic, you know, not for every player, but you need to sign some leaders, or at least some potential leaders. Otherwise, you get left a bit short when the chips are down.
Well, I mean, when you're saying about that criteria, I mean, when Ange, probably Ange's first two windows, I mean, we were signing guys who were majority over 25. Mm. So again, that's just to your point about natural leaders. If it comes with age, then, I mean, we were definitely hitting it then. I mean, I'm very much on the you know, opinion of it is definitely the first two windows, because I think the following year, now when you're talking about personality, and I brought it up quite a lot that I've been at this particular post-match press conference, but I honestly don't understand how you could have signed Taksabanovic and thought, oh, that's what a great guy. Like, honestly.
You get beef?
Honestly. Just he came up here thinking he was going to absolutely stroll it, and he doesn't get a game for Stoke now. But he's like born to play. This is my weekly Taksabanovic rant. But on that point, I mean, from then on, Taksabanovic, Bernabe, they two do not seem as leadership types to me, regardless of age at all. So I think there is a lot to do with that, if that criteria does not set you up to sign natural leaders in your team. And it's the same old, it's like growing from within. So a mentality that Celtic have is signing a lot of these players. And again, there's another expansion in that by saying, you know, we're signing players from abroad as well, who all speak completely different languages. Maybe not English isn't their first language. Age comes into that as well. So it's hard to do that when you're signing guys of that criteria, and it doesn't set you up in the best place.
Yeah, and you know, somebody like an Iwata that you mentioned, James, he might well be the guy that's confident enough to be a leader back in Japan when he's speaking to guys of the same language, but there's no doubt that it's culturally difficult as well, you know, in terms of, you look at Callum McGregor, there's footage of him that's been doing the rounds of him rallying the team before, I think it was a League Cup final last year, something like that, and it's very West of Scotland type stuff. It's, you know, kind of aggressive, it's passionate, it's kind of sweary and all that stuff. And I'm not saying you need to swear to get a message across, but then if you were to challenge, Kyogo's the most experienced, you know, player that's come across from Japan. He's 28, 29 now. You just couldn't imagine Kyogo addressing a team like that. Iwata,
being angry?
Maeda, and the South Korean lads. It's such a jump for them culturally, I think, to become those leaders. But we've got a lot of those players in our squad, so.
Yeah, but Dyson's no cuddly teddy bear. You know, see all the kind of. Dyson's got a real kind of hard streak about him. See, when, you know, people have been saying Hatate and Kyogo were picking guys up after fouling them and stuff like that, Dyson is not interested in that at all. Mm-hmm. There's diversity in their own groupings. I don't think nationality is really it. It's more just that, you know, how have multinational teams, Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool over the years overcome that with, you know, language barriers. There must be a way through it. You can see how Iwata could become that guy, but you would need to find, you know, a common way of communicating. It's obviously too acute for now to be able to do it, you know, between now and the end of the season. But no, I wouldn't have any issue with anyone, wherever they're from, whatever language they're speaking, as long as we're able to make it work, you know.
I think the big thing is age, though. I think that's the main reason behind player. Now, I say age, I think it's experience. And I say age because you assume with age that they've played less games. But if you're 18, 19, you've played a lot of professional football. I mean, you grow up a lot quicker. I'm looking at when Kieran Tierney was here. Kieran Tierney was a leader when he was 19, 20.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's an anomaly, generally speaking. Like that's a one in a million the way it's been so far. But I think it comes from playing football. When you play, you could go back even further. I mean, way before me, but I mean, when Roy Aitken made his debut at 16, I mean, all it comes is a point. You need to have guys that have played a solid amount of football to develop that. You can't just be, you could be 26 and hardly play any football. You're not going to be a great leader. So I think there's a lot in that as well. And Hatate, by the way, I think is quite moody when he plays. I'm not going to lie. I've seen. He's got a nasty streak in him as well.
It's got to be a mean streak. You talk about guys like Kieran Tierney, and I completely agree. It's a great point. I also think of guys like Lewis Ferguson. A lot of Celtic fans won't be mad on him. He's probably Rangers-minded, which is, that's fine. That's his family background. But he's a guy who's, I've just checked on it, he's 24, and you would say he's got all sorts of experience. And I think he now wears a captain's armband in a foreign country. Yeah.
But also, he was playing professional football at Hampton Accies when he was 16.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And played every week. Minutes. You know, yeah.
But again, I think you're right, Joe. It comes back to age, and I've maybe not quite articulated it right in terms of the different nationalities. But I think ultimately, age and experience, and you know, everything that comes with that, is the most important factor. And our signing policy just doesn't allow for that. Let's take a brief look at some of the stuff Celtic have got coming up. So we've got St Johnstone at home on Saturday, then it's the international break, and then we return to play Livy again away from home on Sunday, 31st of March, and then it's Rangers on the 7th of April. There's four key players that could make it back for those games. We've covered two of them in terms of Calmac and Cameron Carter-Vickers. Yang, he'll be back from suspension for the Livy game. And Brendan Rodgers has spoken in the last week or so about Rio Hatate, back training at this moment in time and may well be ready for Livy. There's a concern there, of course, that it's a plastic pitch. Is that where you want a guy coming back from injury? But it's either that or just pitch him right in at Ibrox. So the bottom line is, Joe, all four of those guys that I've mentioned, they walk right into Celtic starting 11 right now, don't they?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think Hatate's not played an awful lot of football, but I mean
11 games this season.
Well, if you look at the Asian Cup in particular, that he hadn't been playing in the Asian Cup prior to the Asian Cup, I think he maybe played. I mean,
he came on, two games.
Did he come on against Rangers? I don't even know if he. I think he might have been the bench, but I don't think he came on. But he played against St Mirren, which would have been, it was a 20-minute cameo. He then was playing the Asian Cup and he was starting. I mean, that could, you could argue that's how he got injured, but yeah. It wasn't as if like it didn't take him long to get up to the standards that we expect and we've seen of him. So you'd like to think that it would be the same again for him coming back. Hopefully he comes back soon, but presuming that he comes back after an international break, mm-hmm. you would presume that he's more than capable of reaching those levels. So absolutely, four starts from me. Carter Vickers and McGregor, their importance is obvious as to how pivotal they are to this team. With technically and non-technically, as we've discussed, Hatate as well, and you know, Yang, is there's nobody else really you would play at the minute.
Good,
to be honest.
Good yesterday. I mean,
it was good. Credit, but it's due. You can only play what's in front of you. I thought he had some real. I thought he was man of the match. You know, Maeda picks up the hat trick, but I thought he stepped up, and people are saying it's only Livy. He can only play what's there. So fair play to him. It should certainly won't do him any harm, and we'll see how he picks up in time for this weekend. But James, how big a boost would it be to have two, three, or even all four of those players available for Ibrox?
I think you need Yang, if it's the Yang that, you know, was on form. You know, that was the most galling thing about Hearts. That was no messing for beating. That was our attacking threat, you know. So if we can get him back to drive that right wing, Calmac goes without saying, Carter Vickers the same. I'd be a bit more cautious on Hatate. I think I'd keep him for the bench, particularly when you're not getting a grass pitch to warm up on the week before, which Scottish football, get a grip, man.
They're voting just now on banning plastic pitches, isn't there?
It's just money. They're basically saying, money. We're going to lose revenue for this, so you need to provide the revenue elsewhere, which is a nonsense. So we can't have an international football player ready for a top of the table clash properly because somebody wants to rent a five-a-side pitch on a Wednesday night. That's just nonsense, man. So, yeah, having them back, but yeah, I would maintain with Iwata in the sixth role for St Johnstone and for Livi and just get him steady there. You know, he's had a couple of ropey games in that position.
Yeah.
But he's obviously, we've seen he's got the ability to do it. And I'd be looking to start the Rangers game with Iwata in that position, having had two good games against St Johnstone and Livi, with hopefully McGregor and O'Reilly ahead of him rather than Hatate. Hatate is real strength to bring off the bench then.
You'd be really confident and comfy with that three plus that option on the bench, wouldn't you, Joe?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, Bernardo's a mystery to me, to be honest, because he's... obviously scores a goal against Rangers, right? And you're thinking, oh, like this is just him kick-starting now. I actually thought out with that he played really, really well. I mean, on the ball, he was real strong in the tackle, yeah. Real dig, was playing with pace, urgency, which is something that I suppose Matt O'Reilly doesn't really have. I think just the way his nature, he's a bit
good
more...
pressing, but not dig.
Not dig, not maybe playing with a great deal of pace. Creatively still a very effective player, but Bernardo, I thought, oh, that's, you know, that's something a bit different. Followed up with St Mirren away, played really well, and then ever since then, he's just, I mean, I don't think he's really made it past half-time in a lot of games. He's been hooked at half-time more than anyone else I've seen. Yeah.
For whatever reason, instead of taking that boost around about Christmas and New Year when he was playing really well, he's regressed for some reason. You know, the manager starts to trust him, starts to play him a few games in a row. I thought he missed a really decent chance against Livingston, actually. He got put in at a slight angle, he kind of turn and volley, and he's not even getting anywhere close to target.
He was a confidence player as well, though. I mean, this is the thing, and it could be a case of a confidence player. Rare for a certain midfielder, to be honest, to be a confidence player, but I mean, he's come after that. It was the winter break that really probably didn't really do him a lot of favours because he was just starting to pick up a bit of momentum. So,
and he's, I suppose, to give him a bit of cover, he is just 21, and maybe that's the inconsistency that comes with being that age. Joey, he's no Matt Clark, I'll tell you that, but that's that's a separate centre mid that we all know and love. Okay, let's take a short break, and when we return, Joe will be bringing us this week's Mystery Cell. Welcome back, folks. Joe, we'll come to you in just a minute for this week's Mystery Cell, but before we do so, let's take a quick look at last week's, which was provided by James. Clue number one, I have 18 caps for my country and 2 goals. And as you say, that clue never helps, yep. But we'll go with it. Clue number two, I made my senior debut in football for English side Rochdale. And clue number three, Gordon Strachan signed me for Celtic in 2008. You did give us a couple of bonus clues, including the fact that in 5 years at Celtic, I made 66 appearances, I think that says league appearances, and scored 9 goals. Joe, I know you're busy digging out this week's Mystery Cell. Did you get this one last week?
I did get this one last week.
Did you?
Name of?
Paddy McCourt.
Paddy McCourt. The Derry Pelly. So he signed in June 2008 for $200,000 from Derry City. He left Celtic on freedom of contract, 5 years later in June 2013, having won 2 leagues, 2 Scottish Cups and a League Cup. James, your thoughts on Paddy McCourt?
It's funny, it harks back to what Joe's saying about, you know, guys like Lewis Ferrix playing senior pro, 16 years old. I thought McCourt was an outstanding footballer. Just what you love to see in a footballer, you know, just wants to take the ball and run with it. Doesn't really need anyone else, can go through them all, score goals, and we saw several of them. But he got into football, pro football, quite late, I think, in terms of, you know, getting up to the level that, you know, his talent really deserved. And with that comes inconsistency, comes, you know, wee knocks and niggles, and, you know, you don't really have the tank for 90 minutes and stuff. So I think that's all that went against him is, you know, when he actually got into, you know, senior pro football. But in terms of natural talent, yeah, he had it all, man.
And on that, Gordon Strachan described him as one of the most naturally gifted footballers he's ever worked with. And high praise from a guy with Gordon Strachan's experience. But your own thoughts, Joe, was he a favourite of yours at the time?
Did Gordon Strachan say he was the best winger at the club? Or was that just a Brendan Rodgers? See, with Paddy McCourt, we only ever really used to come off the bench. I just used to start laughing when he came in. I always found it quite funny because it was one of those guys. He would be a ridiculous fives player. He must be honestly one of the best fives players you could ever come across, just with how good he is with his feet and whatever. But I mean, the way that they talk about, I say this on a very, very small scale, but see the way that some people talked about Jimmy Johnston and saying about, like, people used to start laughing when he played because he just used to just skin a guy and then skin him again, sort of thing. Paddy McCourt did that with a lot less fitness in terms of being able to be resilient with injuries and whatever, but he was one of those guys who just, he was always going to be a fan favourite. And when the Celtic fans are begging you not to sell him, that's always a good sign.
As the song goes. But mercurial genius, you know, that's the kind of term. And of those goals, as I say, I think it was 9 league goals, maybe a couple of more cup goals. Almost every one of them, it's the, you might call them Mikey Johnson type goals, Joe, if you were that kind of guy.
But if you're that inclined, you definitely would.
Cutting in, Megan guys, dropping the shoulder, pass two or three, smash it high into the net. And yeah, Celtic fans loved them. I suppose they were all too fleeting, but some real moments of magic and some fond memories there. Okay, Joe, let's go for it for this week's Mystery Cell.
Okay, this is, as I reminded you earlier, this is to maintain my 100% record.
I wrote the specs on, I kind of read you.
Keeping next in mind, folks, the last one Joe gave us was Lasad. So that's the kind of levels we're looking at here.
Very important figure in my childhood. I was only 12 when Lasad.
Right, okay. So, you know, up to 4 in the morning was, looking at Celtic almanacs and stuff.
Okay, so clue number one. I made over 50 caps for my country.
Helps nobody.
Just throw a name.
Scott Brown.
Samaras.
Clue number two. After leaving Celtic, I'll rephrase that. In between spells at Celtic, I'd been managed by two ex-Celtic players, but neither of these were Celtic managers.
Let me try and work that out.
Oh, yes, a lot to.
So he played in two spells at Celtic?
No. So in between, so he was at Celtic, in between his spell at Celtic, he was managed by two ex-Celtic players.
I don't get it.
So he played for Celtic, he played under two other managers, then went back to Celtic, yes?
No.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'll rephrase it.
Rephrase it so we can
just
understand
before it. Just before he joined Celtic, he played under an ex-Celtic player.
So not between, but either side of his Celtic.
Either side, that's exactly.
He was managed by two former Celtic players.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Got you. Don't know. Clue three, please.
I've scored 15 goals in British football for British football clubs. One was against Rangers, one was in the Champions League, and one was in the English Premier League.
Absolutely no clue.
Is it Lasad?
I mean, that is out there, Joe, man. That's some broad clues.
Have you got a bonus clue for
it? Make it easier for this.
Well, I think in that clue, he scored against Rangers. That is...
For Celtic.
That's the only real clue you've given us out of three. Name a player that scored against Rangers for Celtic. Your mystery self.
50 caps for his country. And
Chris,
then...
Chris Commons, no. I don't know. Any bonus clue for us? Make it too easy.
No. Centre half.
Stephen Presley.
I don't know. I'm still trying to work out the clues. Okay. Well, as always, nothing to beep out here, Dave. Don't worry about that. We'll reveal the answer in next week's show, and we'll also reshare the clues on the socials for anyone who wants to have a go there. Remember, if you want to set the mystery cell for a future episode, just get in touch via Twitter, and you could be the one providing the clues next time around. To close out this show, I want to look at what is a really important piece of recruitment that Celtic must be addressing at this moment in time and in the weeks ahead. There's a really good article that prompted this. It's in the Celts Are Here website. But basically, in a little over 2.5 months, Joe Hart will hang up his gloves after almost 20 years at the top of the game, and very best wishes to him. But James, this is such a key position. It's a specialist position, isn't it, for Celtic to try and replace. And just how vital is it that we get this one right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a burning issue for probably about a year or more now, in terms of we wanted to have someone coming in. You know, we thought Zegrist could have come in as a semi-understudy to Hart, learn from him, you know, rotate with him, and then take the gloves off when he chooses to retire, as he has done now. Zegrist has been one of the biggest disappointments for me in Celtic in recent years. I was desperate for Celtic to get him, particularly with his contract situation. And then he's just fallen in love with Instagram models, and it's all gone wrong. Ah, strange guy, man. There's talk of him going to Aberdeen and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know if there's much Instagram going up there. I think Australia's the place he wants to be. He actually wanted to go to Australia, and his agent was like, you're going to get about £500 a week. So
was there not a move to an Austrian club? I'm not saying you're going all way Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber, put another shrimp on the barbie, but was there not a move there that get the brakes were put on?
I don't know. The one I'm talking about is Australian.
Something, I don't know if it was a loan or something, but basically they put the brakes in it somehow. I don't know if it was terms with him or terms of the clubs or whatever.
But yeah, as you say, that one has absolutely not worked out, and I think it's fair to say, Joe, that with every respect, Scott Bain is not, none of the team have challenged
Happy
Joe Hart.
Happy birthday, Scott Bain, by the way. Today? Thanks Celtic FC for reminding us.
Happy birthday, we're slating you on the podcast. I know. We're not slating him, but he's a number two, that's his level. Yeah. And none of those two guys have put any sort of notable pressure on Joe Hart, have they?
I mean, I think Scott Bain's settled in the fact that he's number two. And
he's comfy in that role,
isn't he? He's comfy in that role.
He'll come in and do a job. when you need.
Yeah, and I think, I mean,
he's number three, by the way. Celtic need a heart replacement and a number two, and Bray is number three. And I think he's okay with that.
100%. Now, I mean, there's always the two options of looking from within or going at external and trying to sign somebody elsewhere. You look at, I mean, they really rate this guy. Is it Olu Wayeme? That's
was he Cork or something just now?
No, he went to Austria.
Yeah,
who's the partner? Is it Admira
Wacker
or the partner club? So I think he went there. I think his problems with injuries, whatever. But they seem to have valued him quite highly as a youth prospect, whatever. But it's always a strange one because I don't. Goalkeepers have always been a funny one for me in terms of trust, and you know, there's never been a yes mate, or we definitely need to sign him, or you know, we've had the Barkas experience before where we thought that was a tried and tested solution, and it turned out, needless to say, the complete opposite.
He's been playing well for Utrecht.
Yes, but it's just a combination of things went wrong.
Yeah. I'll go back to that thing about mentality. Vasilis Barkas has got all the attributes to be a good goalkeeper, but he didn't have the mentality to play for Celtic. Right. And that's just a failing there. They've not scoped that one out. And I think the one positive you can take out the Barkas experience, and I've been very optimistic about it, is just it shows you just how important it is to make sure the guy is capable mentally of turning out to play for Celtic, because that was a horror show.
It was COVID as well, though. I mean, it was the same script with Elhamid. Elhamid went home because, I mean, his family were living abroad and all the rest of it. And you know, now maybe factors come into that as well. I'm half expecting them to activate the Conor Hazard buyback clause come the summer. He's at Plymouth.
Plymouth, geez.
He's at Plymouth. I've got that sort of at the back of my mind that's a possibility.
The COVID season seen as go for Barkas and Hazard and Bain all at different times. They were all Lenny's number one at different times. We were just clutching at straws in the hope that one of them would be the guy, and one would have a decent game, so he would be the guy. Remember Hazard get the cup final, didn't he? Hazard will always be remembered for the guy that
Hazard get the back shaft, basically. And Scott Bain was just Scott Bain was just in between.
He saved penalties to help Celtic win a quadruple treble. And good luck to him, you know, we'll never forget that. But none of these guys were good enough. No. And then you've got the fact that in the past we've been spoiled by guys like Arthur Boric and Fraser Forster.
What is Fraser Forster doing?
He's a backup at Spurs, making an absolute fortune.
All right, that's it then.
I can't see it. He'll go to America or somewhere, I can see. So.
They joke about it, but you hear it from commentators down south saying it's the best gig in football. Yeah. You're paid handsomely. Was Scott Carson not involved for Man City yesterday?
Scott Carson, he wasn't in the bench, but he got injured against Liverpool. Ederson got injured against Liverpool, sorry. So he'll now be getting the best gig in football.
You're going to go buy a pair of gloves.
I know.
Scott Carson will be very well paid to train all week and go and watch Man City games at the weekend. That's just the life of the backup goalie. But as I say, so we've had, you know, real talent. Boric and Foster, you'd bite the hand off a couple of guys like that just now. But what about the spec of the goalie that Celtic should be looking at then? Is it somebody that's a bit older, as we've spoken about, maybe 25 plus? Certainly need to be good with the ball at your feet. That's a big part of things at Celtic. And any other attributes you think we should be targeting?
Concentration. You're spending 80% of your game time doing absolutely nothing. So you look at Joe Hart yesterday, so that one that he saves with his feet, which, you know, could be something that kept you in the cup, you know, not to be too dramatic if things had shaken out and we hadn't got back into it. Hart was doing not an awful lot in that game, but he's got to be alert for a big, big save like that. And then you've got to go into Europe and be a completely different kind of goalkeeper where you're going to be seeing an awful lot of the ball and you've also got to play out with the ball at your feet. We're asking quite a lot, but I think in terms of modern goalkeepers, that's kind of the fit.
Yeah, it's quite a unique role, isn't it? As you explained, yep. They're very different games. You know, you're hoping that Celtic are going to make the Champions League next season, and that's eight games against top opposition where you will be very busy and require the ball at your feet. Whereas you'll go back, you know, you'll play a Tuesday, Wednesday night and then go back to your domestic stuff, and you might not see the ball for 30 minutes at a time.
Oh, 100%. Like, I mean,
you see Hart come up to halfway lane?
Aye. I think there's it seems to be sort of theme of a show really today. It's mentality, a lot of it. And again, what does mentality come from? A lot of it's experience. You look at, again, like a Joe Hart, where Joe Hart's, albeit hadn't played a lot of football really recently prior to joining Celtic, but I mean, he'd a Celtic experience similarly at Man City, where he was playing in teams that were winning most weeks, where you know, there will be an occasion when they are playing a top six team or they're playing a team, a tricky team away from home, where he will have to be called into action. But there'll be some weeks where he's not really tested at all. Yeah. So there's a case of that might be the criteria, but how many of them do you come by, really? Like, there's not many out there.
It's such a specialist position. But yeah, Joe Hart, he's nearly 20 years in the game, 75 England caps. He's got all the experience and mentality that you'd hope for of somebody, you know, stepping in for Celtic. Question for you, Joe, just to round this part off. Do you think Celtic are currently on the case, keeping in mind we're without a head of recruitment at this moment in time? And is it worth spending big, and I mean at least £6 million plus, to get the right guy for this role?
I'd like to think they're still proactive, because as much as they've not got a head of recruitment, they've still got a recruitment team who I'd imagine...
They're playing Connect Four now. Like battleships.
Aye. Rest down Friday every day.
100%.
Relax, guys.
Aye. They'll be just throwing an iPad by like Michael Nicholson, just giving them just give them something to do. Listen, I think it's something any recruitment team... I mean, I work in recruitment, I'd imagine it's a similar world where they're just... It's a constant thing that you're always having to be proactive and look ahead, that I think you'd like to think they are, and give them the benefit of the doubt they are. But I think it is a position that £5 or £6 million, if need be, yeah. And I trust that the data, that, I mean, I'm not a scout, but I'm trusting that there's a lot of data behind it, and there's a lot of justification as to go and spend a lot of money, as opposed to Stevie Woods turning and saying, oh, by the way, that guy was brilliant against us when he played for AEK Athens.
Yeah, and I wonder if it might be. I hope they don't get lazy. You know, there's guys around Scottish football that are decent. I think Kel Roos at Aberdeen's decent. There's a couple of others, you know, doing the rounds, but I hope they don't just get lazy. The Segrist one, you could argue that was lazy scouting. He was on your doorstep. He always impressed against Celtic, but it's not worked out at all.
It was a shot to nothing. Free transfer.
We can't afford the shot to nothing. We can't afford just to take a guy for a couple of million and hope it works out. You might get a talented guy down south, read him a contract, you know, hungry, point to prove, potential Champions League. There's a whole number of reasons why a guy would want to come here, but now just in general, it's really important that Celtic get this one right, and hopefully they've started doing their homework.
Do you know, it's all kind of paper talk and stuff like that, but do you see Celtic going? I mean, I can see Rodgers wanting to go, but to go and spend 15 million, 12, 15 million on Kelleher and match the wages, not match the wages, but give wages of like 50 grand a week.
I'd be amazed.
I know. But see if we want to
not happening.
Make a paradigm shift as a club and step into the Champions League proper, this new format. Got to win the league first. But if we do, then is that not required anyway?
I don't know. I mean, at the moment, we're not spending five, so we're not going to spend 12.
Not on a goalkeeper. I would say a striker or a guy that's directly... No,
I'm not saying one or other. I'm saying as well as.
Yeah, but I can see them. I don't think we're ready. I think the natural progression would be to spend that amount of money on an attacking player as opposed to jumping to a goalkeeper. Because essentially, I think what you're paying for is guys that are going to win you games as opposed to guys that are going to stop you losing games. I think, or stop you drawing games, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, I think that
makes
is ultimately
sense as your clues for Mr. Celtic, to be honest.
Well, I think if you're going to spend that amount of money, you need to spend it in guys that are directly going to like win you games, or like to, you know, kick on and be a top scorer in the league, or potentially sell for more money.
But my one takes you into an Ange realm of not just being in the Champions League to be in the Champions League, to be in the Champions League and stay in it after Christmas.
Yeah, but I think that's two or three steps ahead, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, you've gone down a road there, lads. I was just asking about the goalie, so we'll need to see. But hopefully Celtic are doing their homework.
Don't sign the £50 million striker. Yeah, it's my goalie.
I'm all for it. But no, it's such an important position. Joe Hart's been great, and obviously we wish him the best when he does eventually hang up the gloves. But it's so important that we make the right appointment there. Just a couple of other wee bits of news, nothing to dwell on as such. Bernabe, of course, moves on. He left the club on loan last week with an option to buy. He's gone to Internacional in Brazil. And people were kicking up about the fact that we just don't have cover. That's a move that can go back to bite us. I think giving Bernabe any more minutes at left back is madness, because he's proven such a weak defender. He's got some stuff going forward. He's got a trick and all that stuff, and he's got some kind of stuff on the wings, which is fine. When he's that far up the park, he can't really cause you damage. But as a defender, and the most recent example being against Kilmarnock, when he just forgot how to jump at the back post, he was starting to cost us every time he featured. I'd far rather you slot Liam Scales across or Tony Ralston on his wrong side. They would always be in ahead of him for me. So again, we've talked about recruitment and we don't want to hark on about it, but it's just another one that's absolutely not worked out. Puzzling signing overall, to be honest with you.
Ange signing.
Certainly on Ange's watch.
Ange pushed. The recruitment team said no. Ange said, I want him.
That is the chat on that one. Joe, any kind of quick comments on Bernabe before we wrap things up?
He's not left back. That's my. I think he's a winger or attack.
I think
he's
signed as a winger for international.
Aye,
signed for them, isn't it?
Yeah, he's on the roster as you know, midfielder.
Well, or yeah, potentially, I think it would be good in a team that play a sort of back five, back three.
Yeah,
I think he's that type, but I don't think he's overly defensive minded.
We'll see if we can tune into some Brazilian football in the coming weeks and see exactly what he's all about. But no great loss, it's not worked out, and we need to move on. Joe, I'll come to you for your final comments for the week.
Important yesterday to get through. I think that was always the main thing. Get over the line, regardless of how we play, who we had available, just get over the line, win. We scored four goals, albeit maybe not played the best. I think what is going to be season defining is, in all honesty, who we have available. If Callum McGregor and Carter Vickers and all the rest are out for the foreseeable, then we're going to struggle. If they're back, I think we'll do okay. So only time will tell, but my opinions in the rest of the season are very much reliant on that.
Okay, fair enough. James, final word goes to you.
Just, I suppose, I could another call for fans to really get behind, you know, everything at Celtic at the moment, you know, the manager, the players, you know, we've got to give everything between now and the end of the season. I mean, I think we need to step back to our mentality post Dundee game. The Hearts game, you just need to write that off because that was all John Beaton. The Cup game is the Cup, it's not the league. We're back in the league now where it's really, really important. If you look, I don't recommend it, but if you look at the comments in our post-match video yesterday, it's a bin fire, man.
On YouTube.
Just like, there's a bit of, same as you, Dave, like, get him out now, replace the manager for the next 2 months, which I don't think is for me. In fact, I know it's not for me. So, we need to rally behind Rodgers, the team, whatever. Getting this title would be so, so sweet, and it's not going to happen if we're disparate and all pulling in different directions. So, let's get back to league business.
Yeah, I'd be all for that, and you can reply to those YouTube comments when you get a chance. So that wraps things up on this latest episode of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. Thanks to Joe and James for joining me, and thanks to you for tuning in. Don't forget the additional episodes we'll be bringing you across the week, including the Battle to Save Celtic, our CSC stories, as well as our pre and post-match shows for Celtic v St Johnson at the weekend. But in the meantime, as always, thanks for supporting the Celtic Exchange, and we'll see you again soon. Network.